Tejasani. Produced from egoism in the mode of passion. Indriyani. The senses. Eva. Certainly. Kriya. Action. Jnana. Knowledge. Vibhagasaha. According to pranasya of the vital energy. He indeed. Kriya Shakti. The senses of action. Buddhahe of the intelligence. Jnana Shaktita. The senses for acquiring knowledge. So translation, egoism in the mode of passion produces two kinds of senses, the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses of action. The senses of action depend on the vital energy, and the senses for acquiring knowledge depend on intelligence. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It has been explained in the previous verses that mind is the product of ego and goodness, and that the function of the mind is acceptance and rejection according to desire. But here intelligence is said to be the product of ego and passion. That is the distinction between mind and intelligence. Mind is a product of egoism and goodness, and intelligence is the product of egoism and passion. The desire to accept something and reject something is a very important factor of the mind. Since mind is a product of the mode of goodness, it is fixed upon the Lord of the mind, Aniruddha, then, if it is fixed, then the mind can be changed to Krishna consciousness. As stated by Narottama Das Thakur, that we always have desires. Desires cannot be stopped. But if we transfer our desires to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the perfection of life. As soon as the desire is transferred to lording it over material nature, it becomes contaminated by matter. Desire has to be purified. In the beginning, this purification process has to be carried out by the order of the spiritual master, since the spiritual master knows how the disciple's desires can be transformed into Krishna consciousness. As far as intelligence is concerned, it is clearly stated here that it is a product of egoism and passion. By practice, one comes to the point of the mode of goodness, and by surrendering or fixing the mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes a very great personality or Mahatma. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. Such a great soul is very rare. In this verse, it is clear that both kinds of senses, the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses for action, are products of the egoism in the mode, in the mode of passion. And because the sense organs for activity and for acquiring knowledge require energy, the vital energy or life energy is also produced by egoism in the mode of passion. We can actually see, therefore, that those who are very passionate can improve in material acquisition very quickly. It is recommended in the Vedic scriptures that if one wants to encourage a person in acquiring material possessions, one should also encourage him in sex life. We naturally find that those who are addicted to sex life are also materially advanced because sex life or passionate life is the impetus for the material advancement of civilization. For those who want to make spiritual advancement, there is almost no existence of the mode of passion. Only the mode of goodness is prominent. We find that those who engage in Krishna consciousness are materially poor, but one who has eyes can see who is the greater. Although he appears to be materially poor, a person in Krishna consciousness is not actually a poor man. But the person who has no taste for Krishna consciousness and appears to be very happy with material possessions is actually poor. Persons infatuated by material consciousness are very intelligent in discovering things from material comforts, but they have no access to understanding the spirit soul and spiritual life. Therefore, if anyone wants to advance in spiritual life, he has to come back to the platform of purified desire. The purified desire for devotional service. As stated in the Narada Pancharatra, engagement in the service of the Lord when the senses are purified in Krishna consciousness is called pure devotion. So, Tajasan Indriyandeva Kriya Jnana Vibhagashaha Pranashahi Kriya Shaktir Buder Vigyana Shaktikta. So, Om Ganat Vidanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, in this verse, the intelligence is being. So, let's try to understand what the intelligence is. Prabhupada stated that the intelligence is the form direction of the supersoul. It's a very interesting statement. Form direction of the supersoul. So, why is it understood in this verse that intelligence is born of the mode of passion if it's the form direction of the supersoul? And the explanation is very easy. It's given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Matak smritir jnanam abhonam cha. That according to one's desire in this world, I give him, in other words, Krishna functions through the intelligence, the supersoul functions through the intelligence, I give him remembering it, remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. In other words, whatever you desire, the supersoul is reciprocating with that desire. Also, the fourth chapter of the Gita, Yayatamam prapachante tam satagra bhajamiyam. As they approach me, I reciprocate with them. So let us say, in a practical sense, let us say one wants some material thing. One wants a big house. One has an intense desire for a big house. So the supersoul will give intelligence, depending, of course, on one's karma. That's another factor, too. There's actually two factors that determine success in this world. But let's say you have good karma. Then the supersoul will give you intelligence on how to make the money or acquire a big house or get whatever you want in the world. It is not simply your desire, but your karma has to be there too. So it's interesting. The supersoul works in accordance with your karma. It's a very interesting dynamic. Many years ago, there was a book that came out in the Western world. Maybe some of you have read it. It's called The Secret. Have you heard of that book before? And there was even a movie that was called The Secret. And what that book and movie showed, or attempted to show, is that if you want something enough, you meditate on it, then the universe will reciprocate with you. You read the book, or? The universe will reciprocate with you much in the same way as that story we learned when we were young, Aladdin's lamp, you know. He rubbed the lamp and the genie came out. I think most of you know that story. It's a worldwide story. That this young boy rubbed this lamp, and he rubbed, and a big genie came out. Genie means like a person who could fulfill your desires. He came out and said, whatever you want, I'll give you. And so in this particular book, the universe, or the energy of God, or whatever, is portrayed in such a way that it appears that whatever you want, and if you want it enough, you meditate on it enough, you'll get it. And that's half right. If you have good karma. If you have good karma, you really want something, you will get it. And if you have bad karma, you really want something, you'll get it in a way that's not so pleasing. Like, for example, let's say if one wants romantic life, he's watching a lot of Bollywood movies, and he's thinking, he or she, actually the ladies are thinking, I want a husband like Vivek Oberoi, you know, Bollywood star. Sometimes we try to arrange marriages for our disciples, and if the man is not handsome enough, they're very discouraged. They refuse. I will not marry him. I want someone like a Bollywood star. That's the problem with these Bollywood movies, that people always want a Bollywood star for husband or wife. It gives them a wrong romantic conception. But let's say someone wants that. Let's say a lady is thinking, I want a husband like Vivek Oberoi, and she's meditating on him. Does that mean she will get him? If she has good karma, very, very good karma. But if she doesn't, she will get someone that looks like one of the Rakshasas out of the Ramayana. Like Marich. You know, Uncle Marich. So she'll get someone like that, or, you know, someone really ugly and things like that. So you get what you want, but not exactly in the way that you want it if you don't have good karma. Another problem with really wanting something, even if you have good karma, is that when you get it, it uses up the karma, the good karma. Let's say you have $10,000 of good karma. Let's use a dollar as an example. And you really want the perfect husband. Okay. And so you get him, and then it costs 10,000 units of good karma to get a perfect husband. So after you've gotten him, you have no more good karma left. So the rest of your life is miserable. So that's another problem with wanting something and getting something karmically, is that you use up your karma. So that particular movie and book didn't portray that aspect of wanting something. But in any case, it's the super soul reciprocating. And the super soul also gives intelligence, if you're an animal, how to do things. Like the materialists, they call that instinct. You find that animals have a lot of instinct to do things that, I mean, are unbelievable. Like a bird can fly from one part of the world thousands and thousands and thousands of kilometers to another part, even though it doesn't have a map. Even though no one has ever taught it about it. They've discovered that with animals. Instinct. Or how is an animal, how does a ladybird know how to bring up her little baby eggs? It's instinct. But that instinct is also coming from the super soul. So the super soul is giving this intelligence. Okay. So let's describe, so the intelligence is coming in relationship with one's desire. And the reason intelligence is considered from the mode of passion, that the mode of passion means to plan for something in the future. The mode of ignorance is to try to enjoy something right now without any consideration of future results. In other words, just like let's say one has diabetes, and they see a sweet ball, and they eat the sweet ball, but they're not aware, because they're covered with the mode of ignorance, they're not aware that eating that sweet ball is going to cause them health damage, and ultimately, if they have diabetes, they may have to have their legs amputated. We've seen that happen many times. The people just like are so addicted to eating something when it's there, even though they know, Hare Krishna, even though they know it could kill them or cause them bodily damage, they just have to do it. It's like an impulse. So that's the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance is just like, don't worry about the future, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. Or as Charvaka Muni said, beg, borrow, steal, get yourself some ghee and enjoy this world. That's the mode of ignorance. But passion, which is intelligence, means you plan for the future. Like you put money aside to buy a house, or you put money aside to buy a car, or you send your children to the university so that, you know, they get some education so they'll have a good job. That's passion. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just describing what it is. And in goodness, you're thinking of knowledge, self-realization, peace, all these other things. So, in other words, for this world, as Srila Prabhupada stated here, for this world to develop materially, you need the mode of passion. That's why the original progenitor of this world is in control of passion. That's Lord Brahma. You have Lord Vishnu, He's the creator. You know, you have the Vishnu, Brahma, and Lord Shiva. Because Vishnu is God. But he manifests this material world, maintains the material world. But Lord Brahma, he does all the passionate creating stuff. What I mean by passionate creating stuff? That he creates all the different varieties of life through his progeny. Like he has all these interesting children, or children of children, like some of his grandchildren are snakes, or birds, and of course you have Swayambhuva Manu, who is the original progenitor of the human race. That's why Manu, mankind, it's the same thing. So you have Lord Brahma in the charge of the mode of passion. And of course, ignorance is destruction. So Lord Shiva, he's in charge of the mode of ignorance. He's not in ignorance, but he's in charge of the mode of ignorance. So that's destruction. You know, anger, destruction, the fire at the time of the cosmic dissolution. But Brahma's passion. So when you're creating something, you need some passion. Or if you're going to be a manager of something, you need some passion. And you can't manage simply as a mode of goodness. It just doesn't work like that. You know, the mode of goodness, you'd be saying, it's all Krishna's will. You know, just chant Hare Krishna. You know, someone will get sick and they'll say, what should I do? And you'll say, just chant Hare Krishna Prabhu. So it says, you know, the mode of goodness in this world, just the mode of goodness doesn't work very well. I mean, you wouldn't be able to build temples. Even like propagating the Krishna consciousness movement, you wouldn't be able to do unless you had some passion, isn't it? Like Prabhupada said, very interestingly enough, he said, we want devotees like Arjuna, fighters, not those sit-down type of people just chanting all day long. It's quite interesting. So and Prabhupada also praised Arjuna for being passionate and killing for the right cause. So all that's spiritual. I mean, the modes can actually be used for Krishna and Krishna's service too. But you need mode of passion. And if you don't use your intelligence to plan things, as they say in strategic planning, he who fails to plan, plans to fail. Do you ever hear that before? Remember that. Many of us have worked in the business world, you know that. He who fails to plan, plans to fail. Because if you don't plan things ahead, like what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, we got to get a bogo for the, even serving the meetings. Even serving, it's just like you have the list out there, that's planning for the future. No, you want this for the deities, you want that for the deities. I mean, if you're just thinking of right now, you wouldn't be planning. You'd say, well, whatever Krishna sends. If Krishna sends food today to offer the deities, that's nice. If Krishna doesn't send it, that's nice too. And it's like Sanatana Goswami, when he was taking care of Madan Mohan, the deity was complaining. You're just offering me some dry bread balls. And he said, that's all I have. You know, my duty is to preach and everything like that. And if you want anything else, of course, the deity was also complaining there's no salt or ghee or anything like that. And Sanatana Goswami said, if you want any of that, you're going to have to get it for yourself. So the deity had to do, you know, Madan Mohan had to arrange for that boat to be stuck in the Jamuna on the sandbar, and then ultimately for his own temple to be constructed. Because Sanatana Goswami is absorbed in the mode of goodness, and transcendental mode of goodness, Vishuddha Shabha. So in other words, Prabhupada really wanted us to use this passion. And even with the preaching, he wanted us to utilize passion. How did he do that? He encouraged competition. That's passion. Like he would tell the devotees, you know, you should beat this temple. And I remember years ago, we had this competition between the Radha Damodar Party, headed up by Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and our group in South America. This is a Christmas marathon competition. And every day we were calling Srila Tamal Krishnamurti up and telling him our scores. And we actually won, but anyway. So we were telling him our scores, and he was getting disturbed hearing our scores. You know, very, very, you know, at the end of the month, Prabhupada actually said, you know, Tamal Krishna doesn't like to get defeated. So, but this is good. This is Krishna consciousness. This is, because you need that. Like Prabhupada would criticize some of the members of the Gaudiya Math just for sitting down and chanting. So you need some passion. And Prabhupada said, we want passionate. Not passionate in the sense of like romantic passionate, but passionate for Krishna. In Kali Yuga, preaching is more or less like a kshatriya activity. It's not your sit-down activity. You've got to travel all over the world. You have to challenge people. You have to argue with the Mayavadis, like Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. He would walk up to the Mayavadis and grab them by the collar. And he says, what are you preaching this nonsense for? He would say, why are you wearing this shirt? You could just wear a piece of cotton. It's all the same. You understand? It's all one. So he had this, even this, what Prabhupada called the cutting technique. And Prabhupada said that some of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples even criticized their guru for that technique, you know, the heavy technique. And Prabhupada said they fell down as a result of that. So there's nothing wrong with passion. Passion is good, and that means the intelligence. You think. So what do we mean? So we can use or transcendentalize passion by planning how to become Krishna conscious. Like, you know, even taking a vow, like today I'm going to chant 64 rounds or on a Kadasi or whatever, 25 rounds on a Kadasi. That's utilizing the planning, you understand, to become Krishna conscious. So that's how you engage passion in Krishna's service. It's not that we just sit down and do nothing, but we have to plan how to spread this movement. Prabhupada, even in the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada defines a pure devotee, Uttama Adhikari, as one who follows strictly, never falls down, and is always planning how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's passion there too. So there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. In fact, like I said, Prabhupada wanted that. So don't be confused when you hear that intelligence comes from the mode of passion, thinking that you have to get rid of your intelligence. You need to use your intelligence to control the mind. Because the intelligence will tell you what your goals are. That's in the future, that's passion. And then as a result of that, right now, here and now, you can tell your mind what to do and what not to do in terms of achieving that particular goal. Everyone should have goals. If every day you're just living just for prasadam, you know, just when you're going to eat, that's not a very advanced life. If you're thinking, well, today I'll just eat, tomorrow I'll just eat, tomorrow, next day is a feast, I'll enjoy. I mean, it's better than nothing. At least you're Krishna conscious. But you're not planning your future advancement in Krishna consciousness. You're not planning how to spread the movement. I mean, the closest disciples that Prabhupada had were always passionate in planning how to spread the movement. Srila Tamal Krishnamurti with the Radha Damodar party. You know, even, you know, buying new buses, that's passion. Buying buses, distributing books, increasing. Prabhupada would say double it every year in book distribution. I mean, that's pretty passionate. Prabhupada said, I'm very pleased. Now if you want to please me more, you double it. So anyway, so we have to plan like that. And in our personal lives, I'm going to chant Japa better this morning. I'm going to be more attentive. I'm going to take care of the deities better. I'm going to clean the deities. I'm going to cook better. I'm going to change this habit, bad habit I have. I'm going to try to change that. So all these things are required if we want to actually be intelligent. And Krishna consciousness is called Buddhi Yoga, because Buddhi Yoga means the yoga of intelligence. Isn't it? Buddha Yoga. And ultimately, when the intelligence becomes fixed, then Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo, then you can actually fix your mind on Krishna. Isn't it? Oh, Nanda Nanda. Very nice to see you. Alright, so that's what I want to speak about this particular verse and purport. So any questions or comments about these? Everyone's sitting so far away, it's like I have some disease or something. They're afraid of catching the flu. Yes. Does anyone have any questions? And the Kishore, any questions? The result. Or even what?
Even using the intelligence.
Yeah. Consider the result.
What the mind feels is good or not good. What would be a way to bring about this consideration or inspire the intelligence?
Yeah.
Rather than just be carried away by the
mind. Well, you can do an exercise. What I suggest in that regard is that you get a pen and a piece of paper out and you write your goals in life. I mean, most of us, I mean, unfortunately, if you ask most devotees, you know, what's your goal in life? It may take them about 2 hours to figure that out. You know, I mean, you ask me, I know immediately, you know, please Prabhupada is my goal by helping spreading the Krishna conscious movement, to chant better rounds. I mean, these are my goals in life. And going back to Godhead, you know, I'd rather please Prabhupada than going back to Godhead. So I don't really have that as my goal. I'm actually just trying to please Prabhupada by serving Prabhupada. I would take that the primary goal. Developing compassion for other living entities, you know, Jiva Doi, which is important, and Namaruchi, developing a taste. But so I think all of us, we should do this exercise. And it really helps. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Right now. So Hare Krishna. So it really helps if we write it down, because we take it more seriously when you write things down. Prabhupada said, if you write things down, you remember. He's talking about devotees taking notes in class. And also, they won't fall asleep if they take notes. So you write down, you know, what are your long... You start with the long-term goals. You know, what is your ultimate goal? You know, that... Like I mentioned, my ultimate goals. Okay. So then what is your goal, like your 10-year goal or your 20-year goal? You gotta really set what they call milestones. Anyone's heard of the word milestones? Like when you're talking about going somewhere, you have to have intermediate steps too. You have to know your ultimate destination. Hare Krishna. Good to see you. I mean, just like I came when I came to Fiji, I knew that my goal was to go to Fiji. Hare Krishna. But then I also was aware that to get to Fiji, I had to take several stops or changing planes in different places. You know, I flew from the east coast of the United States, then I flew to Houston, Texas. Then after Houston, Texas, I flew to San Francisco. Then after San Francisco, I flew to Sydney. And after Sydney, I flew here. So these are all... But the goal, first of all, I determined I was going to Fiji. And secondly, I determined how I was going to get there with the intermediate goals. So that's really important. So you do that exercise. I suggest that everybody, if you don't have a concrete understanding of your goals, you do that exercise. And it really helps you. And you read that paper every day too. You got to remind yourself. Because we forget. I mean, we have things happen in life. like someone dies and that causes us to be disturbed, or someone attacks us, or we get the flu, or we get sick, you know, something happens. So we actually forget the goal, and then we deviate from that goal. Because we become bewildered by a particular... But you won't become bewildered if you remember your goals. And that's how you make the intelligence very strong. Write down what you want to achieve. And if you don't have anything you want to achieve, that's ignorance. Isn't it? I mean, it's just like, live every day and not think of what you want. I mean, at least you should be like Dhruva Maharaj, who wanted a big kingdom. I mean, he had a goal, isn't it? That's what kept him determined. Dhruva Maharaj didn't say, you know, I'm just going to go out and worship Lord Vishnu. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to worship Lord Vishnu in order to achieve my goal of having a kingdom better than that of Lord Brahma. I mean, he had a pretty big goal. I don't think most of us don't have a goal like that. But so he had that goal, and it kept him fixed. Because he wanted something. What do you want? I mean, what do you really want out of life? Do you want to just float around and just like live day to day? I mean, that's your problem if you want that. But I don't. I mean, I'm thinking, I mean, just like this morning, I was chanting my japa and just thinking, you know, I got to chant better japa. I got to be more attentive. I have to, you know, just planning. How am I going to do that? This is my goal. Otherwise, your chanting of japa will be very bad. It'll be lousy if you don't have a goal to chant better japa. Namaruchi, Jivadoya, Vaishnava Seva. I'm adding that one. So that's really what I think about. Namaruchi, Jivadoya, Vaishnava Seva. And Prabhupada Seva. So any other questions? That's a good question. That's passion. But let's use passion. Don't be ignorant. And don't be too much in the mode of goodness either. Yeah.
Service, can that be technically called
sudrasattva? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's because in the spiritual world, they're pretty passionate too. But it's no longer material passion. When you engage it in Krishna's service, it becomes spiritual. I mean, the gopis are running to serve Krishna every day. You know, they're very passionate in the spiritual world. Mother Yashoda's an anxiety. That's a manifestation of passion too. But it's all sudrasattva. In the real sense, it's Shudashat, what contains within it, like spiritual passion, spiritual. But we also have to engage our particular mode in Krishna's service. You know, whatever mode you're in. Like a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahman. But everyone's meant to be enthusiastic. That's where, you know, passion, or whatever, indicates that one is enthusiastic to do something. Utsahan Nishya Dharyat Tatat Karma Pavartanat. As Rupa Goswami says, one has to be utsaha, enthusiastic. So then you don't have to be passionate. But enthusiastic for what? For achieving some goal. Right? Not just for eating. Oh, it's prasadam time. My goal is to eat. Fill the belly, that's the goal. You're the body, not the soul. That's our mantra, isn't it? You can all chant that. Fill the belly, that's the goal. I am the body, not the soul. So, any other questions? Nice to see so many devotees here. Serving the deities. Everyone looks happy now. Effulgent. Nanda, you look effulgent. It's good. Good management. Nanda Kishore is doing a great job here. Things are really coming together in this temple. It's a very important temple. This is Prabhupada's temple. Prabhupada established this temple. I mean, Suva also. I mean, all the temples are important, but this temple in particular, because it was established by Prabhupada. Prabhupada told us which deities we should worship here. I mean, so many things. Very important. And we should plan for the temple. You know, how to renovate the temple, decorate it, fix it up. I mean, that's good. That's good. If you don't plan, then you'll be living in ignorance. What's the use? Or you'll be planning for your sense gratification. Right? Like, so much wealth do I have today, so much more will I get tomorrow. He's my enemy, I've conquered him. According to Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, I mean, you'll plan one way or other. Passion. Alright? Time to greet the deities or no? Okay. Good timing. All glories to the divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. Hare Krishna.